I want to start here. If you'd put that slide up with the... There we go. That's the one. This is a painting of what Jesse was just reading for us. It's this fascinating piece of scripture because what's happened is Peter, who is one of the disciples, has... Well, actually, let me back up a step. So Jesus has been arrested. They've been out in the garden. And Jesus is brought to the house of Annas, who is the part of the high priest officialdom. And as Jesus is inside, Peter is outside in the courtyard warming himself by the fire. And Jesus has told Peter three different times, has told Peter that you will deny me three times. You will deny knowing me. And so Peter is out there and he's warming himself by the fire. And three times he gets asked, aren't you one of his disciples? Don't we recognize you? Doesn't your accent show that you're a Galilean? And each time, Peter says no. And this particular painting captures one of those incidents because here is Peter, this guy who has been with Jesus when he has seen Jesus walk on water. He has seen Jesus calm the storms. He has seen Jesus heal the sick, feed the multitudes. And Jesus has told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And yet, when he's confronted by a servant girl, the lowest caste of society in that time, he's afraid. And he denies knowing Jesus. Denies that he ever met him, denies he has any connection, and just denies it. And what I want to do today is I want to explore what this story means for us and how it plays out in our world, how it plays out for the questions we ask. You see, I think when it comes to walking away from faith, there's a couple different categories. And sometimes there are those of us who are just absolutely convinced that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we never walk away. It never even crosses our mind to walk away. And I want to explain that for just a second. There is saving faith, which is that ability to say Jesus is Lord. And the Bible tells us clearly that you cannot say Jesus is Lord without that gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is by the Holy Spirit working in our lives that we can say Jesus is Lord, that we can follow him, and we can go to heaven. And that if you're here and you're professing Jesus as your Lord, that's where you're at. But the Bible also talks about the gift of faith. And what that is that supernatural ability just to be at peace and to know that God is going to take care of you. You see that pop up, not just articulated as the gift of faith, but also in different places in the Bible. You'll see it in the Psalms where people lament and they cry out to God and then they say, I know you will deliver me. With the story of Job, Job goes through all this trauma and heartbreak and everything else, and he says, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know I will see him again face to face, I and not another. And it's this beautiful testimony of faith, and I cannot tell you how many times I have read that at funerals. And how do you tell if somebody has a gift of faith when you're interacting with them? They're always calm. So if you know that person in your life who is always calm and at peace, probably a good chance they've got that gift of faith. Unfortunately, there's also another category of us who are sure of things, but not calm. As part of this story, there's a piece I want to explore. As I said, Jesus gets arrested. He's out in the garden. He is taken to Annas' house. And while he's there, he says to them, look, I was out teaching in the open all the time. I was there at the synagogues. I was there at the temple. I was there all the time. But you guys chose to do this on the Passover in the dark. What gives? And one of the officials, one of the officers, slaps Jesus. And Jesus makes this interesting comment. It's one of those things that's just haunting about this story. And he says, look, are you mad at me because I'm telling the truth, or are you mad at me because you think I'm lying? And he says, if you think I'm lying, go get the witnesses. But maybe you're just mad because I'm telling the truth. And it's one of those haunting pieces of this story. And I have to ask you this sometimes. What is the truth that God's trying to get at that's making you mad? Because sometimes we get confronted with stuff that we don't like. And I cannot tell you how many times over the years, and I suspect most of us have had this experience, where we get confronted with something and we lash out, not because we think it's lying, but because we know it's true. And friends, I have to ask you, what's going on in your life that you do that? Think about this guy who's slapping Jesus around. This is an observant Jew. He's working with the high priest. He is there in the temple. He is part of the Jewish authorities. He has been waiting for the Messiah all his life. He would know the law and the prophets backwards and forwards. And he, like every other person, was waiting for God to send the Redeemer, for God to send this person to save the Jewish people. And yet, when that person, that long-promised person, shows up, what does he do? Slaps him around. If that doesn't make you uncomfortable for your own life, sure makes me uncomfortable. Because I wonder about those things. What am I missing? What am I so blinded by? What is that piece in my life that I'm missing? And I just want to encourage you to pray for clear eyes, to be able to see those points in life where God is speaking to you and where you get angry and ask, why am I angry? What's going on? Now, there's one last piece of this I want to explore, and that's Peter himself. Why do you think Peter got to this point and denies ever knowing Jesus? Why do you think he got there? And he's like, nope, never met him. I think there's a number of things going on, but I want to point out this one in particular. Jesus comes into Jerusalem on Sunday. He rides in what we call the triumphal entry or Palm Sunday. And everybody's hailing him as king, and the disciples are there, and they're following behind, and they're enjoying everything going on. All the pageantry, all the celebration. They see the power inherent in what Jesus is doing. They see Jesus come in and cleanse the temple. But from that point, think about it. If that's Sunday, and this is Thursday that these events are happening, think about everything that goes on. Think about Jesus facing all that opposition. Think about Jesus repeatedly saying that he is going to die. Jesus sitting there at the Last Supper saying that all of you are going to be scattered, that one of you is going to betray me to the authorities, that Peter himself would deny him. Think about the load on him. And I think Peter just got to that point where there was one more thing, and he just couldn't handle it anymore. And friends, that's what I want to focus on, where we get to that point, where it's one more thing. I want to share this with you. We have this habit every year, Advent and Lent. We have that table out there, and we have purple slips for you to write down the names of people you know and love who don't know Jesus. And as talking to people, talking to you all over the years, and I hear it every year, there's people whose names on here are those people who sometimes who've grown up in church, who have loved Jesus, and whatever has happened, and they have stepped away from God, like Peter. And it's heartbreaking, just heartbreaking on a regular basis. But that's what I want to focus on today. If you'd put up that next slide, I want to look at this through this lens of what Jesus says in the garden. As they come to arrest him, they say, Jesus asks them, "Who are you? Excuse me, who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus says, "I am he. Let these other men go." And then there's this last line here. "Of those whom you gave me, I have not lost one." And Jesus had said that at the prayer that he had at the end of the Passover meal that evening, just a few hours before. Because what he is doing is he is saying, "I haven't lost anyone. Nobody." That includes Judas. That includes Peter. And part of what he's saying is Judas and Peter have made these choices to step away, but they're always welcome to come back. Judas makes a series of choices that prevent him from coming back, but Peter is able to, and we're going to pick up that story again the week after Easter. And so what I want to say to those of you who feel like you're at the end of the rope, it's going to be okay. Let me unpack this for you. We deal with a lot of pain. And if you've been around here a while, you know one of the things I always say is there is more pain and more heartbreak in this room than we know. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they gave me permission to share this as long as I kept it anonymous. And they said, "You know, it's been a rough couple of years." And they said, "I'm just feeling the toll." And they gave this really interesting story. They were sitting at a Super Bowl party, enjoying the game, enjoying everything else, just sitting there. And they were saying, "I just feel so raw. Even though I was having fun, I just felt so tense, so angry out of nowhere." And they made this comment that they just feel these waves of emotion just because of all the pain and stuff they've gone through. And I know a lot of us deal with that sort of thing. And I half wonder if some of us feel like we should just write our own name down and put it on those purple slips because we're afraid we're going to end up like Peter, just so crispy, so fried. You feel like you step away from faith. And friends, I want to share something very important with you about the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written last of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written first, particularly Mark. And they're written to explain to new people, to Romans, to people who don't know Jesus. And they explain who Jesus is in very clear and uncertain terms. But John is written later and is written to a Christian community trying to figure out who it is in relation to the Jewish people and in relation to persecution, in relationship to trouble. And so when John gives these words, what he's doing is he's highlighting when you're in the middle of this and you feel like you're hanging on to your faith by your fingernails, when you feel like you are just fried emotionally and spiritually, Jesus gives you these words, "I have not lost one." And friends, in this troubled and uncertain world, that is something that we need to keep coming back to. That promise of Jesus that no matter what you have done, God still loves you. It's one of my favorite Psalms where the writer says that, "Even though I go to the depths of the grave, you were still there. And friends, that's what I want us to close on. For those of you who are in that situation where you feel like you cannot even say anything at this point, and you feel so battered and beaten down by the things of this world, Jesus is there for you with that promise that he has not lost even one. So stay strong in that. Pray for that. And pray that you would be filled with his peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for those words of encouragement that you give us, and that promise that your love is greater than everything, even death. We pray that you would fill us with your spirit, fill us with your faith, fill us with your peace, that you might be glorified in our lives and in our hearts. Amen. If you'd please.